Unintended consequences. In the U.S. healthcare system, the people are represented by three separate yet equally important groups: the doctors who treat patients, the employers who offer healthcare benefits, and the insurance companies who administer them. This is their story. Dunk, 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 dunk. Actually, many people wish that could be their story. Affordable health coverage offered by a stable and well-endowed employer. However, for an increasing number of us, decent healthcare coverage has emerged as an elusive dream, resulting in jerry-rigging and scrambling around in a stunning display of unintended consequences. This is our story. Nick and I are both consultants associated with companies that do not subsidize healthcare benefits. While we are both happy in our jobs, the rising cost of our healthcare coverage is a nagging issue and has prompted both of us to investigate other arrangements. Unintended consequence number one. Employment decisions are based not on the job or career opportunities, but primarily on access to healthcare insurance. Nick had some preliminary discussions with another consulting company that did not offer healthcare benefits, but they claimed they had come up with a nifty workaround. They advised us to join the Independent Cattlemen's Association of Texas and get health insurance through them. Unintended consequence number two. Two lifelong Midwesterners with no ranch, no cattle, and not even a hat would consider joining a cattlemen's association. The Cattlemen's Association states that it is the premier representative of the cattle industry, providing an effective legislative voice for all cow-calf ranchers with the vision to accept and promote changes impacting their well-being. For a moment, I thought that their well-being might refer to the cows and calves and not the ranchers, but that was just probably the vegetarian in me talking. Membership is a great bargain, ranging from $20 to $1,000, and comes with a variety of goodies, such as a t-shirt, cap, an unspecified special gift, and an aluminum gate sign for your ranch. And of course, you can also sign up for their health benefits. Basically, we could team up with the cattlemen and help spread the risk across a larger group. I had a colleague once who said that he got his health benefits by joining some sort of beekeeper society. Frankly, if I had to choose between the two societies, I would choose the bees over the cows. I just feel more simpatico with bees, and I can use the honey. Unintended consequence number three. I would be willing to become an apiarist and be stung by bees on a routine basis in exchange for stable healthcare benefits. There are other types of affinity groups. For example, a chamber of commerce might offer health benefits to local merchants, thus grouping together a number of small businesses. This would seem to make sense, since it reflects the basic premise of insurance, i.e., spreading the risk across as large a pool as possible. However, in practical fact, this arrangement usually doesn't work, since there is no contribution from an employer to keep the premiums down. Without this sort of subsidy, small businesses with young, healthy individuals, perhaps, for example, a mountain biking shop, will get a better rate if they got insurance on their own. At this point, they don't need a group to spread the risk and share costs, and they don't want their premiums to subsidize, for example, the elderly couple across the street who owns a shoe store. With the departure of the healthy sector, the remaining businesses in the group will see their premiums rise. Of course, the small companies that initially departed will return if one of their employees has a significant illness and they need to seek shelter in a larger group. Pretty soon, the affinity group is attracting only the least desirable, and the group goes into a death spiral of punitive premiums. Yes, folks, this is our healthcare system. I'm looking for an insurance plan that will take Nick and I, warts and all, no questions asked. Let's face it, we're all going to be a little dinged up as we close in on 60 years. A bad hip, shoulder, or knee here or there, perhaps a clogged artery, and hopefully at most, a minor but nerve-wracking brush with a biopsy. Based on age alone, we're nobody's idea of a good prospect to share health costs, and in fact, we're only going to add to the burden. Basically, the insurance industry considers us millstones, and they can hardly wait to offload us onto Medicare at age 65. Unintended consequence number four. The only insurance actively soliciting our business is some sort of paltry life insurance designed only to cover our final expenses. We're both basically healthy, except that Nick had a little episode with a bulging disc in his lower back that required surgery. It was nothing, really. Really nothing more than the spinal equivalent of trimming the hangnail, although admittedly the hangnail was inconveniently located. Completely successful surgery with no sequelae, but bang! What we've got now is a permanent wart on our medical record, referred to as a pre-existing condition. Our new BFFs, the cattlemen, would exclude any claim for anything to do with the entire spine, which could be a good foot and a half away from the original surgery. The takeaway message here is to only use your health insurance for the really big stuff. Don't submit claims that will establish a pre-existing condition that will follow you for the rest of your life. Unintended consequence number 5. Even though you are spending a fortune on health insurance, try not to use it. However, once a pre-existing condition is on your record, go ahead and see that chiropractor or physical therapist for those back twinges as much as you want. It can't hurt your long-term insurance prospects any more than it already has. We ultimately decided that we could not accept the cattleman's half-assed offer, and we would continue to limp along with what we have. I also have a suspicion that we would be kicked out of the association anyway, based on an incident that happened to Nick almost 25 years ago. We were feeling slightly restless, wondering if our predictable paths of suburban life and corporate jobs were a little too safe. So on a lark, Nick decided to fly out to Great Falls, Montana, to interview for a job at an advertising agency, the state's largest. We had vacationed in Bozeman, Montana many times, and loved being near the mountains, and with Montana State University, the town seemed very vibrant with many cultural opportunities. The major flaw in our logic was the assumption that Great Falls would be like Bozeman, the same kind of innocent mistake East Coasters make when they come to the Midwest and are surprised when they can't see across Lake Michigan. The first clue was that Great Falls was not near the mountains, and the second clue was that the city was circulating a petition to ban the TV show NYPD Blue. Apparently, the lurid plot lines and bare butts were considered way too explicit for this conservative town. But Nick pressed ahead and went through the usual interview process, discussing background, prior experience, etc., and then the interviewer announced that since some candidates exaggerated their experience on their resume, Nick would have to pass an intelligence test. Now, Nick had some pretty snappy East Coast credentials based on college and business school, and his prior clients represented the epitome of market-driven companies. So perhaps this intelligence test was just a way of putting him in his place. But there he was, dutifully filling in an answer sheet with his 2 number 2 pencils. Once the written part of the test was completed, the interviewer announced that the last portion of the test would be an oral spelling quiz. It was at this point that Nick clearly knew that even if he aced the spelling test, Great Falls would never work out. Most of the words were gimmies, like triangle or antique, but there was one stumper, heifer. There were 2 main questions in his mind. First, 1 F or 2? Based on his German roots, he knew how to spell Hassenpfeffer, and that had 2 F's in it, but heifer, H-E-F-F-E-R, just didn't look right. The second issue was the I. He knew it must have one, but where? Somewhere in the dusty depths of his brain, he remembered the grammar rule, I before E, except after C. But then he remembered all sorts of exceptions. There is the word science, for example, and the word weird, both in flagrante to the mnemonic. Mnemonic, now there's a great spelling bee word. So was it going to be heifer, H-I-E-F-E-R, or H-E-I-F-E-R? Even scribbling the word a few times on a piece of scrap paper did not give him a good vibe, so in the end he just guessed. I'm sorry, said the interviewer. You spelled heifer wrong. Does it really matter? Asked Nick. Well, around here it does, said the interviewer. So even if the cattlemen don't care if we have a ranch, cattle, or hat, I do think that they would be horrified to know that we don't know how to spell heifer, and also that we are still a little unclear as to what kind of cow a heifer is. Unintended consequence number 6. I now know that a heifer is a female cow that has not yet given birth.